morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do I need a microphone?
No, I don't think so.
You're recording it? You are recording it? Well, then I need a microphone, right? All right. You know, it's been about 9 or 10 years since I've been here. And I can't believe how much time flies. So if you're new, if you came here in the last 9 or 10 years, I don't know you. And I see faces have changed. Not just on the new people. Faces have changed in those 9 or 10 years since I've been. Oh, my goodness. I ran into Jim and Sharon, Brian and Christine a couple of weeks ago up in Verona on the reservation. That's where Dana and I live. I don't know why they were there, but they were there. And a funny thing, I ran into them at the food line. Can you imagine that? Brian and Jim at the food line. And Brian said, can you come to preach for me sometime? And I said, yeah, like I used to do. I used to come quite a bit. And I didn't know he was going to take advantage of it 2 weeks later. He called me up and says, I'm going to want to go be with my family for Christmas. So here I am. And we're ready to get started. The scripture text said, for what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. And so we start out with the question, what would you give in exchange, or what would you receive in exchange for your soul? That's an important question because we live in such an evil world. And temptation is right outside the door. Sometimes it's in this building. You turn your TV on, it's there. Wherever you go to a restaurant, it's there. The other day I had to tell someone that when I go to Walmart, I'm surrounded by sin. It's there. And it's so easy to reason in a way, you know, your cause, so to speak. Reason your cause away to live for Christ and indulge in the world. And so think about it before you do it. What would you receive in exchange for your soul? He's talking about us because the things we do, we're going to be judged by someday. Turn with me at this time to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And notice what Paul said he would give up in order to keep his soul. He would not allow anything come between him and his Savior Jesus Christ. And I think we can learn from Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 7. You know, Paul had risen, for a young man, he had risen very high in the Jewish religion. And Paul says this in Philippians 3 and verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. It doesn't sound like the New King James. He says, everything in this world I count as loss. I consider it as rubbish because I want the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want that instead. And that should be our attitude. And the reason why we're preaching this sermon this morning is to remind us that we have something to look forward to. The knowledge of Jesus Christ and the hope that comes from that is something to look forward to. And whenever we're confronted with the temptation and we're about to exchange our eternal salvation and give up our souls, we need to stop and realize there's something better in the future for us. And I need to give it all up. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And notice what it says here was Moses' response. Moses, as you know, grew up an Egyptian. He was the prince of Egypt. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he had everything. Notice what it says here. What was Moses' response to the question, what would you give in exchange? exchange for your soul. By faith, Moses, I'm reading in verse 24, Hebrews 11, 24, 25, and 26. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses had it made, worldly speaking. I know that many times I've reminisced and thought about how good things could be. You know, all I wanted was enough money to enjoy life, enough food to eat, and I like to eat. By the way, when Brian called, I said, you know what, my mother-in-law, we have to leave right after services. I said, we can't stay around. We got to get home because they're having a Christmas Eve party for my side of the family at 1 o'clock. And he says, well, if you think my brethren are going to invite you out to lunch, you're wrong. And so, don't invite us out to lunch, all right? I'm not even expecting it because Brian already warned me about his brethren. By faith, Moses had everything he wanted. He didn't have to worry. You know, if he wanted something, he could just say, hey, servant, go get it for me. Bring it back. I'm right here. Rub my feet. You know, whatever it was he wanted. Moses had it. But what did he do? He gave it all up. Why? The scripture says, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God then enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And so, brethren, look to the reward. Don't be short-sighted. Look forward to what's going to happen. Look forward to eternal life. Look forward to heaven. And make your choices accordingly. Now, we have a blessing. We have a promise in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. We have a promise that's been given to us. We have a blessing that's been given to us. Listen, as Peter says this in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You see, we have a blessing that's been offered us. Something to look forward to. He refers to it as an inheritance that is imperishable, unfading, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So we need to look to the future. But before we look to the future, let's go back into the Old Testament. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Because here's where this blessing had its start, in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. This is where the blessing got its start. It came to Abraham. We're going to talk more about how Abraham fits into the New Testament in a few minutes. But it says in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. And by the way, his name is Abram at this point, not Abraham yet. It'll be changed, but here's Abram. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you may be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, if you haven't underlined that verse or highlighted it in your Bible, you need to. The reason is, this is a turning point in Scripture. If you know your Bibles, and I know all of you do, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, it begins with the creation story. 1 and 2, chapters 1 and 2. When you get to chapter 3, what do we have? The of Adam and Eve. The fall of man. You can eat of any tree in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of that tree, because the day you eat of it, you'll surely die. And Satan walks up in the form of a serpent, and he says to the woman, as God said, you can eat of all the trees of the garden. And she knew the law. She said, God said, we can eat of any tree in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if we get that knowledge, if we eat of that tree and get that knowledge, with the day we eat of it, we'll surely die. And Satan said, you shall not surely die. He only put one word in there. You shall not surely die. And what did they do? They ate of it, and that day they died because they were separated from God. They broke God's law. They exchanged worldly pleasures for their souls. That's what we're talking about here. What's the next story in the Bible? Cain and Abel. Cain rises up and kills his brother Abel because he's jealous over Abel being pleasing to God and Cain not being pleasing to God. So Cain becomes more unpleasing to God and slays his brother. Cain's driven out. You notice the separation that happens when sin occurs. And then, what's the next story in the Bible? It's the flood. Noah's flood. What happens in that story? The world becomes so evil that God repents that he ever made man, and he has to wash all of the sin away in that watery flood. And that's, by the way, a type of baptism. The flood comes and cleanses the world. And the sin is destroyed. And what's the next story in the Bible? We're getting up to chapter 11 now. It's the story of the Tower of Babel. Mankind again defies God. God says, spread out and fill the earth. And these people, when they come to this plain, they say, here's a good place to build a city. Not only build a city, but we're going to build a name for ourselves. Pride stepped in. And so they start building this city, and God has to come down and confuse their language and send them away. And so the point I'm trying to make is the first few chapters of the Bible up to chapter 12 are all about sin. How evil mankind is. How sin is destroying us and separating us from God, and how we need forgiveness of sins. But he comes to Abraham. Now, he must have been a special man, because God chose him out of all the men of the world. And he gives him this charge in chapter 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. What if he showed up here in Imperial Beach and he told you, I want you to leave. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave all your children and your grandchildren. And of course, Abraham didn't have any kids at this point. But he says, I want you to leave your father and your uncle and your aunts and your mother. And I want you to leave. Well, where are we going, Lord? I'll show you. You don't know where you're going, but I'm going to show you where you're going. And so, that took faith. And Abraham up and leaves. And he goes to that land that he knows not where he's going. He doesn't even know what it looks like. But it's a promise in the future to be given to him. It's a blessing. Just like we have that future promise. And Abraham goes. Verse 2. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I'm going to build you up to the point where you're going to have a great name. Don't we Christians have a great name? Christ. We have a great name. Aren't we a great nation? No matter where you go in the world, you find the church. Even in the Middle East, I know of people who are serving God according to the Scripture. Where it's banned, but it's there. Went to Israel. Found the Church of Christ in a couple of cities there when we went there. Been to Venezuela, Honduras, you know, all over Latin America. The church is there. We're a great nation. Remember that stone cut up by Adam in Daniel chapter 2 was going to become a great kingdom. And we're part of that kingdom. And so we have that too. But Abraham's going to become a great nation. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Wow. In you, Abraham, somehow, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. What a blessing. Turn with me at this time to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Because the blessing has been passed down. Go to 26. In 26, the son of Abraham is going to receive the same blessing. The son of Abraham, that's Isaac, he's going to receive the same blessing that Abraham received. You see, the blessing being passed down. Abraham didn't receive. It was promised to him. And he looked forward in the future. But he's given it now to his son. Listen to what it says in verse 3. Genesis 26 and verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. God speaking to Isaac. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands. And I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. Same promise. Isaac is coming to you. All the families of the earth will be blessed. Turn with me now to Genesis 28. Genesis 28, and start with reading with me in verse 10. Isaac didn't receive blessing. It was promised to him, but he did not receive it. And so Isaac has a son. His name is Jacob. Listen to what it says to Jacob. Verse 10 of Genesis 28. Jacob left Beersheba, and he went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place, and he stayed there that night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head, and he laid it down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth. Verse 15, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done this. I have done what I have promised you. You see, Jacob hasn't even received it yet. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promise is made. You're going to get the land. You're going to get a great name. There's going to be a great family come from you. Fourth promise, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's for us. Is this blessing spiritual or physical? Part of it's physical. I'm going to make you a great name. I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to give you this land, the promised land. It hasn't been given to them yet. It'll happen 400 years later when Moses brings the children of Israel and then turns the reins over to Joshua, and Joshua brings them in, then they get it. But right now, it's something in the future that they're looking to. I will give you this land. By the way, all these things are types of what takes place in the New Testament. The great name is Christ, the great nation is the church, and the great land is heaven. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you, Jacob. All of them. You see, that wasn't just for the Jews. The Jews might have considered themselves the blessed people because they were going to have the great name, they were going to have the great family, and they were going to have the great promised land. But all the families of the earth are going to be blessed in that promise too. It wasn't just to the Jews. There was more to it than that. There was more to it than that. And so it was more than a physical blessing. It's a spiritual blessing. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's study this blessing in the New Testament. What does it say about it in the New Testament? The blessing to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How does it apply to you and me? What are we going to gain from it living in this century? Listen, chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? What was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? He gained nothing. He didn't have the land. He didn't have the great name yet. He didn't have the large family yet. How many kids did? Well, we know. Never mind. Don't answer that question. Abraham had. It just blows me away to think about this. God says, I'm going to make a great nation of you, but your wife's going to be barren. He says to Isaac, I'm going to make a great nation of you, but your wife's going to be barren. How are we going to have this great nation? God can do what he says. And as you know, in their old age, Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah. And as you know, Jacob was born to Isaac. And as you know, Isaac had 12 sons. Jacob had 12 sons. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And the 12 sons became known as the 12 sons of Israel, or the 12 tribes of Israel. And God says, your name to those people that came from him will be called Israel. So, what did he gain in the flesh? Keep reading with me in verse 2. Romans 4, verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. You see, what he did was not about works. It was about faith. Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. There's works involved in faith. Don't get me wrong. Show me your works without your, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my works by my faith, James says. There has to be works, but it's not to earn it. It's because you believe, and you're doing it because you love God. Abraham did that. He believed. Get out of your country and come to this new land I'm going to give you, and just pack up and go. And he did. That took faith. A deep faith. Verse 9. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. Was it only for the circumcised? That's the Jews, the Hebrews. The house of Israel, the children of Israel. Was it only for them, or was it for every family of the earth? All of the Gentiles, because the Jews said anybody that isn't a Jew is a Gentile. Is it for all of them? Verse 10. Now, how then was it counted to him? Talking about how was it counted to Abraham? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. The Jews said circumcision was their sign. Proved they had a relationship with God. And you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. What about Abraham? When was his faith counted as righteousness? Was it after he was circumcised? Or before? It was before. You see, he's building a case here for us Gentiles. And that we don't have to be Jews in order to receive this blessing. Verse 11. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Now catch this. The purpose. Whenever it says the purpose, it means here's why it happened. Okay? The purpose was to make him the father everybody who believes would be Abraham's offspring. Everyone who believes can be Abraham's offspring. Verse 12, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham, who before he was circumcised. Verse 13, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Go over to verse 16. And this is why, whenever it says this is why, it's going to tell you why, okay? And this is why it depends on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace and be granted to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Who's our father? God in heaven, of course, but Abraham. If you're faithful and you have the same kind of faith that Abraham had, you, checking up the clock, you'll be back there. If you're faithful and you have the same kind of faith that Abraham had, you're saved. You're part of the family of Abraham. You're part of Abraham's clan. Take a look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3. I don't hear no pages turning. Of course, nobody turns pages anymore. They log in. Galatians chapter 3. Isn't that something we used to like to hear? Now it's Galatians 3, verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, you see, believing and obeying, that's important. Just like all those stories of sin from Genesis 3 to chapter 11 in Genesis. Those stories about sin are important to us. Here he's telling us that Abraham's faith is important. Verse 7. Now then, that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Who are the sons of Abraham? Who are the children of Abraham? Those who have faith. Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Now catch this. The scripture, the Old Testament, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Wow. That's our blessing. The gospel was preached in the Old Testament. Of course, I knew that. I think you did too. It was preached in the Old Testament to Abraham because in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Look at verse 14. Galatians 3, verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The blessing had something to do with the Spirit of God that's going to come to us. It was the gospel being preached in the Old Testament. In you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And so we have a blessing. But we're missing part of the story. Turn back with me to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. We're missing part of the story. We talked about Abraham. We talked about Isaac. We talked about Jacob. We talk about the promised land. But all the faces of the earth are going to be blessed. And we have a blessing to look forward to, even today. But part of the story hasn't been told. In Genesis 25, we have the story of Esau. Now, who's Esau? Esau is the older brother of Jacob. You all know that story, right? When Isaac was about 40 years old, he had no children. He took a wife. She was barren. He goes to God with the issue and he says, God bless us, open her womb. And what happens? Next thing you know, there's a struggle going on inside that woman. And she wonders what's going on. If this is the blessing of God, how come I'm struggling inside that this is going on? And God says, there's two nations in you, woman. The younger's going to become the leader. The older's going to serve the younger. And so when they're born, you know what happens. Esau comes out, and how is he described? He's red, and he's hairy. I don't see any red, hairy people in here today, so I can't offend anyone. Everybody's got to be so politically correct. He's red and he's hairy. And he comes out first. And then his brother comes out. What's his brother doing? Why, his brother never did anything the hard way, even when it comes to being born. And so he's grabbing onto the foot of Esau. And as Esau comes out, Jacob comes out. And they named him Jacob because it means to grab by the heel. Or, in some terms, to be a cheater. Because even at his birth, he was cheating. Now, we're not going to get into that side of the story today. We don't have time. Verse 29. I want to talk about what Esau did after he was born. It said, once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. We don't work in the fields too much. Maybe there's somebody that works in the field now. But he's coming in from the field, and he's exhausted. I've felt that way in the past, exhausted. Just starved, and I need rest, and I need nourishment, and I need water. You know, he's exhausted. Verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted. Therefore his name was called Edom, because Edom means red. Let me have some of that stew. It looks delicious. It smells good. I'm exhausted. Keep reading with me. Verse 31, Jacob said, sell me your birthright now. Sell me your birthright. What does it mean to have that birthright? Well, he was the oldest brother. And according to human thinking, the elder brother always got the blessing. Did you notice that it skipped Esau and went to Jacob? Esau didn't get it. Why? Because he sold his birthright. He gave it in exchange for his soul. Wow. Verse 32. Esau said, I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me? Now let's put that in our day. I sure want to do that. I know it's sin. Oh, I want it so bad. I'm going to die if I don't get it. And you exchange your birthright. You exchange your soul for the pleasure of the world. You lose your salvation. You don't have any hope anymore. That living hope that Peter wrote about, it's gone. Disappeared. Boom. Out of here. That's what we do when we exchange our souls for the pleasures of the world. Verse 33, Jacob said, swear to me now. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. No wonder Jacob got it. Verse 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread and little stew. He ate it and drank it, and he rose and he went away. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You see what happens when we exchange the world's pleasure for our soul's salvation? We despise our soul's salvation. Oh, it's just a little sin, a little drink. Oh, it's just a little, it only costs $15, I'll steal it. Just a little thing. It was just a bowl of stew. And Esau gave up his birthright for it. Somebody once said that he was short-sighted. He didn't have vision. He didn't see the promise. He didn't see what the blessing meant. How did this affect his children? Not just the first generation, but for generations to come. The decision that Esau made that day affected his family for thousands of years. Somebody else once said, family with a father like Jacob is doomed. What kind of father are you? What kind of mother are you? Are you willing to sell your birthright, your soul salvation, for something that is worldly? Did I say Jacob? Esau.
Yeah, there you go.
My wife's correcting me. She's my worst critic. Anyway, you're going to sell it. You're going to sell it for very, very little. Esau gave it up for just a bowl of stew. And so we ask this question as we begin to close. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. I want to read one more verse, and then we're going to close this lesson. Hebrews 12, about this blessing that was given to Abraham that applies to us. Verse 15. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. See to it. When it says see to it in the Bible, it means pay attention and do it. See to it that what? That no one fails to obtain the grace of God. And then he goes on to make an example of Esau in verse 16. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. He's considered a person who is profane, who has broken the law. You know, you're driving down the road and you're going over the speed limit. What are you doing? You're breaking the law. He broke God's law. And the whole law came upon him, and he's caught sexually immoral and unholy. Verse 17. For you know that afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. No chance to repent. What about us, brethren? We have the opportunity right now to repent. If you put it off, you can end up like Esau. And even though you think, well, my sins aren't bad enough to keep me out of heaven, when you break the law, you break all the law. Sexually immoral, unholy, profane. That's who we become when we don't follow the law of Christ. What about us? Do we need to repent? And do we need to regain the blessing that is rightfully ours as being children of Abraham? Esau was in the right family. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I'm in the church. Or I'm in the family of someone who's in the church. I'm in the right place. Esau was in the right family, and he still missed his blessing. He lost it. That can happen to any one of us. On the other hand, we can be faithful. What would you give in exchange for your soul? The answer's up to you. If you need to repent, come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Or maybe you've never been baptized to have your sins washed away. You need, as happened in the flood story, the water came and washed all the evil out, and Noah and his family rose up to walk in newness of life. You need to be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you have any reason to come and answer the Lord's invitation this morning as we sing this song, please come as we